the Lord laid upon my heart as studying through for a Sunday school lesson that we were going through. And it's called Transforming Truths. And it talks about different passages of scriptures and verses that changed our lives or changed my life. And this is a passage of scripture that God really worked on my heart about. And as I was studying and preparing it for Sunday school this morning, God spoke to my heart about bringing the message this morning here to you. And the title of the message is, Do You Want More? Do You Want More? They're waving to me back there. So it doesn't work, or is it not on? Is it on now? Wonderful. Thank you for that. Okay, so the idea we've been talking about is seeing the goodness of God, and we began with seeing the goodness of God through the promises of God. We talked about Caleb and Joshua, how they believed and how they were able to go into the promised land. Then we talked about seeing the goodness of God a couple other areas. We talked about last week about through his providences. And then tonight we're going to look about seeing the goodness of God through his pruning. You say his pruning. We're going to talk about how sometimes God has to take us through certain things to be able to help us make more fruit. And as I was preaching and looking through this passage of scripture, God helped and just impressed upon my heart the importance of just asking you the question this morning, do you want more? I'll tell you the reason why this is a verse or a passage of scripture that helped transform my life is as I was called to preach, God started enabling me and giving me opportunities, and I had a final opportunity to come and preach a message at my church back home before I left. And if you remember way back over 12 years ago, when I came and I preached my first message, it was out of Job chapter 42, verse number 5. And that was when I came a candidate here. I preached that night about activating your faith. And I gave the story before is that as I was reading through my Bible, looking for the message that I was going to, whether it be speak here or even at my final service at church, I began preaching and I began studying and reading, and I was going through the book of Job. It's really a great book. I am not an expert at the book of Job. Someday I'm looking forward to preaching through the book of Job. We take different books of the Bible and we preach through it. The Lord hasn't led us to the book of Job yet. In a couple weeks after our Bible conference, probably the Sunday right after our Bible conference, we'll start a new book of the Bible. This time it's going to be a book inside the New Testament. Last time it was a book in the Old Testament. We'll be having a new book of the Bible in the New Testament on Sunday mornings. But here in this story, as I was reading through it, Job chapter 42 and verse number 5 really stuck out to me. And we're going to read the whole chapter, but verse number 5, we're going to just give a little emphasis to it right here to begin with. It says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. As I mentioned, I'm not an expert when it comes to the story of Job. Most of you know a little bit about the story, and we'll give a little bit about more of the story here in just a few minutes. But this verse reminded me of myself. I have been going to church, my mom tells me, 9 months before I was born. If you can't figure that out, I can explain it later. But I've been going to church pretty much all my life, and faithfully going to church Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, for most of my life. And I have heard about God, and I have heard about him. And I believed in him. I've accepted him as Savior. I answered a call to preach. I surrendered my life. But when it came to this spot, it says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. It showed me that I could have more of a relationship with him. And God at that time, when I had been through quite a few years, God working on my heart to finally surrendering and getting to that spot where God was calling me to preach, making myself willing to finally do what God has enabled me, had called me to do. I told Sunday school class this morning, it was like I was like an onion, because he kept on peeling back little things at a time, little sections at a time. And he was trying to get to the heart of things. And as I finally had told my wife that God was calling me to preach, and I believe he wanted me to be a pastor or a youth pastor somewhere, I talked to my pastor a number of times through this, and I was finally allowing God to work in my life to the point where I could actually see him move in my life. I could see him answering my prayers. It wasn't just about hearing about it, because we've all heard the stories. We all have seen how people have been used by God and how God has done great things in their lives. And we love hearing those stories and we love saying amen. We love being encouragement to somebody else. But I had heard about God all my life. And I had believed in it, and I had trusted him. And at this point in time, I was teaching an adult Sunday school class. I was teaching junior church. But I had never really seen God move in a mighty way in my life. And he was finally, in my life, I was finally surrendered to the point where I actually saw him working in my life. And see, that's where I want us all to be. That's where I don't want it just to be about the hearing. You know, we can spend so much time, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. And Job was a Bible character who was known for being righteous, who was known for being holy, who was known for living for God. But he says, after I went through all this experience, and that God had allowed the devil to put him through the ringer, had let him put him through turmoil and trial, probably like no other man has ever faced. And at the end of it, he walked away and he says, look, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. He sees God working in his life. And I tell you about that to me, I still remember studying and coming to that verse and just thinking about that and God impressing upon my heart, you know what? I can see God now in my life. Before, it was all about hearing about him. It was all about a God that I knew the stories, I understood the stories, I believed the stories, but I have never seen him do that through me. And I'm not saying I'm anything special. I'm not saying there's anything awesome about me. But I remember how God was working in my life, and it made me want more. And that's my question this morning. Do you want more? Do you want more in your Christian life? Do you want more than just hearing about God? Do you want to be able to see him move? Now, I'm not talking about seeing him on some vision when you're laying in your bed. That's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm talking about, do you want to see him move in your life to where you can see him orchestrating your life and you see him using you in different areas and seeing how he can bless you and how you can be used to do something special and something great for God? You say, something great? What do you mean? Anything God has planned for you is great. Don't think because of the fact that maybe you're not the pastor or because you're not a missionary or a deacon or, you know, God calls us all the different paths, all different races, and anything he has planned for you is great. If you're an elder person that all you can do is pray and you can see God moving in your prayers, that is just as great as some younger person that can do maybe more things physically. God has something great for you. Do you want to see him move in your life? We can all say we've heard of him by the hearing of the ear. If you've been in church for so long and you've heard it and you've heard it and you heard it, but when your eye can finally see him working and moving in your life, that's a transforming truth. And that's my interest this morning. Do you want more? You know, the reason why we have special days is to give us an excuse to invite our friends once again, to give us another reason to continue to pray. We work for them and we work hard because we want God to bless our church. And we take a certain week and we say, let's focus on this. Let's do all we can. Let's pray. Let's consider fasting. Let's do everything we can to try to get to God and let God move and let God bless. But in all reality, that can happen any day of any week here at our church. We focus on one because we want to whet the interest that we want more. Do you want more? I mean, we're giving you the opportunity here. We're bringing, God led us to bring a choir conference and a ladies conference, and we're going to have preaching Sunday through Sunday. And on Saturday, obviously, it's for the ladies only, but Sunday through Sunday, and we're trying to whet the interest to say, okay, do you want more for your Christian life? We're giving you an opportunity to say, here, this is something that you can come, we believe will encourage you, that will help you, that will get you closer to God, and something that can make you ready to serve him in a greater extent. Do you want more? Now, I remember as I was studying, and I remember how God was working in my heart and my life, and I gave the Sunday school class a little bit of my testimony this morning, but about a different transforming truth that God worked. I got to that verse, and I said, Lord, thank you. I know for all these years I've heard about you. I know for all these years I've been serving you. But now finally, after he peeled back all those different things, and there's a long story behind all the different things God had to peel back in my life, now finally I can see you working. I'm thankful for that. You know what that made me want? Made me want more. Made me want to get closer to him. Made me want to even see him work more and do more. Because when you get to God, you get to that holies of holies, you get to that moment in that place where you're in fellowship with God, you desire to have even more. And in the story of Job, it says that the Lord blessed him more in the latter end of his life. And that's what I want. I've had a great walk with the Lord. I love what he has done in my life up until this point. But you know what? I want more for the future. I don't want to live on yesterday's victories. I don't want to live on yesterday's provisions. I want more in my Christian life. Now, there's people out there today, we live in a society that says, hey, they're driven by more. We people who want more money, who want more stuff, who want more power. A billionaire wants more money. A politician wants more power. A child wants more mashed potatoes. We all want something more. The people who live in this world want more of the world stuff. But when I read the story of Job, I want more of the spiritual stuff. The Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. I'm interested in that more because I want him to bless the latter end more than the beginning. I don't want to be satisfied with just hearing about him anymore. I want to see him work. How do I get there? Let's go ahead and look here in Job chapter 42. The Bible says, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth countenance without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak, and I demand of thee, and declare thou unto me, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Job recognizes who God is. Finally, after all these chapters, after all these things, God brings him to the point and helps him understand, this is who I am. Job sees that. Verse number 6, he sees himself for who he is. It says, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job was a person who I believe was self-righteous in some areas, probably had some pride, and now he is saying, I finally see myself for who I am, and I do not like what I see, and he repents of us. This is what true repentance is when we see who God is in the holiness of God, and in the light of God's holiness, we see how much of a sinner we are, and we repent of that, and we want more of God and less of me. Let's keep on going. Verse number 7. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad and the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naphtalite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. Now, I think I keep on telling you that one of the releases to seeing God work more in your life is when we forgive. See what happens, what it says in verse number 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. He didn't harbor the bitterness. This is not the main part of the message. But you see that when he was willing to forgive and do as God desired him to do, he was then blessed. He received more. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters, and all that they had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. I think that's what we need to look for. We need to ask God to bless us more. Not just be happy with the past, but look for more of God. Let's keep on going. It says, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And it continues on talking a little bit about his children. And at the end it says, verse 16, after this lived Job 140 days and saw his sons and his son's sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. God, we are in need of your help. Lord, as I try to explain what you laid upon my heart, I pray that the people that are here leave this place wanting and desiring more of you. God, we've heard about you. Many of us could tell the stories that we've heard for many, many years. But Lord, not very often do we see you working in our lives. Lord, help us not be satisfied with just the hearing anymore. Help us to be able to see you moving and working. Help us not just be happy with just hearing. Help us, Lord, also to be a doer of your word too. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's go ahead and go back to chapter 1 really quickly. Chapter 1, we're going to tell a little bit of the story for those that might not be acquainted with the story. We don't have a lot of time to go through and explain the whole story over again because it's not the main part of the message, but I want to give you a little background on Job. Job here, it says in Job chapter 1, verse number 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect. You say, well, if he was perfect, then he didn't have any sin. That meant that he was mature. He was, and it says, and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. So I want you to get this and understand this. Chapter 1, verse number 1, gives a description of Job, what he was before he went through all this, what I would call a pruning stage, or what before he went through all the trials and all the temptations that he faced. At chapter number 1, this is a good man. This is a man who is upright, one who fears God, and one who eschews evil. He is a man who has heard about God all of his life. But see, in chapter number 42, he's saying, now I can see God working. Let's go towards the end of this chapter now. Now Job is put through the ringer by the devil. The devil causes great things to happen. He loses all his children. He pretty much loses all of his wealth. And in verse number 20, he says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. I think that's a wonderful thought there, something we could preach a long time on. He was still worshiping. Why was he worshiping? He was choosing to see the goodness of God even through his pruning time, even through his trials, even through his hardships. How could a person worship when they lost their children, lost all their wealth, lost everything but their wife? He believed to see the goodness of God. Christian, if you want to see God, if you want more, you're going to have to believe to see the goodness of God. You're not going to have to, you can't see the circumstances. You got to believe to see the goodness of God. Remember what the verse is. I would have fainted if I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have given up. Job would have given up. Any of us probably would have given up. His wife says, curse God and die. Don't even put it. And he says, no. Job says, no. I choose to believe to see the goodness of God. Let's keep on going. Verse 21. And said, here's his reasoning. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord have taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I want you to get this idea. Job was a very wealthy man. Job had a lot going for him. Job was the religious leader of his family. He was offering sacrifices for his children. He was doing all these things. And he came to the point where this trial came in his life. And he said, still, I'm going to worship him. Still, I can say, blessed be the name of the Lord. And if we truly want more from God, we're going to have to get to this spot. we're going to have to get to this spot, even when the trials come. Now, as we see through the stories, we see that this did not cause Job to do wrong. So Satan comes back to God and says, look, the only reason why he's not cursing you is because you haven't let me touch him. Then Satan, it says in chapter 2, verse 7, it talks about that. In verse number 8, it talked about how he gave him boils in verse number 7 from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And talks in verse number 8, he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. So what is he going to do? He's still choosing to believe to see the goodness of God. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive? Good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? And all this did Job sin. Did not Job sin with his lips? Let's go back to chapter number 42 here. And chapter number 42 is where we're going to spend the most of the time of our message. And it's a very simple message. Do you really truly want more? Because if we really truly want more, there's something in this chapter that teaches us how we can have more, how we can get more from God. The first thing we have to do, if we really truly want more, we have to believe to see the goodness of God. So we have to understand God. Job came to this spot. He feared him. He eschewed evil. He was an upright man. But something happened. And at the end of the trial and at the end of the fiery trials that he went through, he came to the spot and he said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. What changed in Job's life? It changed how he saw God. And we talked about our theme for the year, a proper vision. And remember, it begins with a proper vision of God. When we see him high and lifted up, when we see him for who he is, then everything else changes. Everything falls in place. When we see him high and holy and lifted up, we see who he is, we realize who we are, then everything changes. And that's what happens in Job's life. Look what it says in verse number 2. He says, I know that thou canst do everything. Is that your God? I mean, that's what Job is saying. He is getting more. He is seeing God work. He has looked past all the other circumstances. He says, now I see God for who he is. He says he's a God that can do everything. Is that your God? I'm not trying to belittle your thoughts because I know we all trust in him. We all say, I can do all things through Christ. But is that the God you serve? Because that's where you get the more from. Is when you believe that he is a God that can do everything. And he keeps on going and he says, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. See, it wasn't just something that he had memorized. It wasn't something he would just spit out. He now believes that he is a God that can do everything because he is reminded. And all these, that's a wonderful book. You go through and God and Job have a conversation back and forth. And God is saying to him, where were you when the worlds were created? Can you do this? Can you do that? Who are you? And he realizes and brings Job all the way to this conclusion and say, I am God. Now, see who I am. This, if we want more in our lives, we got to have the right perspective of God. We got to have the proper vision of God. And this is where Job gets, he says, thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. You go down to verse number 5, it talks about how he sees the Lord working and moving now in his life. But see, just seeing God is not enough. The second thing is, we have to not only understand him, we have to understand ourselves. Look what it says in verse number 3. This is a humbled man. This is a man who has been put through the trials, and he was asking God questions, he was speaking back to God. And he says here, he says, who is he that hideth countenance without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. He's saying, when I said those things before, I had no idea what I was talking about. And this is where we got to get to in our Christian lives. We got to get to a spot where we say, if I want more from God, I got to get past all those pre-thoughts, all those high places in my life, all those strongholds, all these things that I thought was right, all these things that I thought was good, all these things that were against what the Word of God says, but they were my own conceptions, my own notions. And I had to get to the spot that says, when I used to talk about all these things, I really didn't know what I was talking about. But now I see God. Now I understand God. I see that he can do everything. I can see that not even a thought is withheld from him. And I see his holiness. And when I compare that to my heart and my life, what does it say in verse number 6? I abhor myself. We get to the spot where we see ourselves and see how sinful we are and see how wicked we are and how much we need God and say, I just don't like who I am when it comes to my flesh. I'm honest with myself. I see that I have another nature inside me that's warring against me, and I don't like that, and I'm sickened by this, and I want to do everything I can to try to crucify that and nullify that and do everything I can to be as close to God as I can be. See, we have to get to the point where we understand Him, but we understand self. We have to get to the point, if we want more, that it's like John the Baptist said, He must increase, but I must decrease. He is humbled. He is humiliated here. He is going to God and saying, look, I hate who I have been, and I repent and dust and ashes. And we're not talking about some murderer. We're not talking about some type of rapist. We're not talking about some type of Satan worshiper. We're talking about a man who feared God, who eschewed evil, who was upright. But after he was put through these trials, he came and he says, look, now I see it. Now I see God. Now I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes. When's the last time you took a good long look at yourself and said, I need to do better. I need to get closer to Him. See, we become so prideful sometimes and so righteousness in our own strengths and our own things that we're satisfied. But the Bible teaches us that we're sinners and that we need Christ and that the Holy Spirit of God lives in us and we can produce the fruits of the Spirit and that we can have more. We can have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. If we can have all of that in our lives, we can have the more. But we first have to see and understand who He is and understand who we are. We got to get to the point where we say, it's not about me and what I've done. It's about Him and what He's doing through me. And the next thing I want you to see is what more can do for us. What more can do for us. Not only do we have to understand God, not only do we have to understand self, we need to understand what more can do for us. We can have more of the power of God in our lives. And this is what we're looking for. I know it says he received extra. He received double animals and he received double children. You say, well, Pastor, he didn't really receive double children. He only talks about the 10 there. Well, he still has those 10 other children up in heaven, so they're still his. So it was the double children, I think, and he still received. I'm not talking about this stuff. I think if Job, you know, that money they gave him, those earrings they gave him, the fact that God replenished the animals twice as much, I think he could say, forget about all that stuff. None of that really matters. I have seen God work in my life. I have seen what God can do in my life, and that matters so much more than any she asses or any camels or any this or any that. I have seen God work, and I want more of that. You go back at the end of verse number 17, it says, so Job died being old and full of days. I like that term, full of days. I know you read into the scripture sometimes, but when I'm thinking of full of days, I just think about the fact that his days were full. He was satisfied, full in serving the Lord. I think God is able to bless Job because he wanted and experienced more. He experienced more of God's power. Verse number 11, he experienced more of God's provision. The more doesn't seem that he doesn't fret over the needs of his life. He trusts God to take care of them. God takes care of him the same way that Elijah was taken care of with the ravens, the hungry widow and his son. If you're seeking more, you'll get more of God's powers, but you'll get more of God's provisions. He says, y'all get more stuff? No, it's not about the stuff, but it's about believing that he can provide the stuff for us. You'll get more of God's providences. And that's what I'm saying when it talks about the latter end was more than the beginning. You see where it says in verse number 12, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. And that's what I'm saying today. Do you want more? If you want more, then try to understand who God is. If you want more, then really truly understand what self is. And if you want more, then understand what more can do for you. It brings God's power, it brings God's provision, and it brings God's providences. I am trying to reach out and trying to get you to understand something, is we can just continue on hearing for the rest of our lives. We can sit in the pew. I can sit here and preach. and we can just continue on hearing about the Word of God. And that's a good thing, because faith cometh by hearing. But don't you want to see God move? Don't you want to see God work in your life? Aren't you ready to allow God to do something for you and with you? Now, chapters 1 all the way to chapter 41, it's not very easy for Job. But I don't think he would give it back. I think he would say, being able to see God and see him move is much more important than anything you had to go through yourself. But here's the key. You have to be willing to see the goodness of God, even when the circumstances are tough and hard. Tonight, when we look at seeing the goodness of God through his pruning, it has something a little bit similar to the story of Job. David said, it was good that I was afflicted. Why? And you're going to see tonight, it's because earlier he had gone astray. He had been afflicted because he went astray. You know, he said, it was good that God allowed these things to happen in my life, because now I see God. And that's what Job is saying here. It was good. I've heard about him. And before all these other things happened, I was satisfied with hearing about him. But now I can see him moving and working in my life as I had never seen before. The question is, do you want more? Whether you understand all the different points and all the different things I'm trying to bring across, do you want more out of your Christian life? I preached a sermon probably a few years ago. What is it that you want from your church? And I says, look, what is it that you want? Do you really, truly want a place where God comes in and moves and works? What is it that your church should want from you? What is it? And that was another message I preached. What is it that the church should expect from you? As a church, we're a body together. Do you want more? I do. I know we've been preaching a little bit about this the last few weeks. We're trying to build up to the spot where we're hoping that God will rain down his blessings and just bless us and say, God, come and move in a mighty way. But the only way that's going to happen is when we understand him, we understand who we are, and we understand what he can do, and we start seeking after it. We humble ourselves. We get less of stuff, like Job had to get to the spot where he was seeing God. He had to get less stuff. He had to get less of self to get to the spot where I can see God. Maybe we had to say, what is it that's stopping me from getting to God? And why am I not seeing God work in my life? And ask that question and do something to change it. You say, Pastor, I'm here this morning and I get this more stuff, but I don't have any clue what you're talking about, because I've never even know who God is. The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to this world to die for sinners, to give them an opportunity to be able to go to heaven. We were all sinners, lost and on our way to hell, and Jesus Christ came and paid your sin debt for you. The Bible says that if you'll call upon him, if you'll believe in your heart, call upon him, you can be saved today. And so I want to encourage you this morning, if you're not a Christian, not sure of your eternal home, please come forward during the invitation. Let us have somebody take a Bible or Bible literature, be able to show you and teach you how you can be saved and on your way to heaven. But if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, isn't there something inside you that wants more? If there isn't something inside you that's saying, you know what, my Christian life is not what it should be, I want more out of it, I want to know God more. Say, well, Pastor, that's for you. You guess not to the same spiritual level I am. No, look at the Apostle Paul. What did Apostle Paul want? What did Apostle Paul say? He counted all things but loss, that I may know him. He said, I know who he is. I know him personally, but that's not enough. I want more. He says, I want to understand him more, even if it means with the fellowship of his sufferings, no matter what it is. He says, I want more of God. But too many Christians today, we're apathetic. We're satisfied because we know that we are on our way to heaven someday. And we do little check marks and we're done. And we're just happy. But see, there's something inside of us. It's called the Holy Spirit. It's going to say, you can have more. You can abide with him. You can fellowship with him. And if you want more, it's something you're going to have to seek after. You have to see who he is, see who we are, and see what it can do for us, what more can. This morning, do you want more? That's what God's offering you. That is what we're trying to do here at our church. To get us excited about wanting more of God and more of spiritual things. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.